Jnanavahini Chapter 4. Look at the clouds that wander across the sky. Note that they have no intimate, lasting relationship with the sky, which they hide but for a few minutes. Such is the relationship between your body and you. That is to say, you with a capital Y, who are of the nature of Paramatma. The body is but a temporary passing phase, hiding and clouding the truth. How can the body's behavior, wakefulness, dream and sleep, affect in any way the eternal consciousness, the Paramatma? Consider your shadow. Is it not something separate from you? Does its length or clarity or career affect you in any way? Understand that the same is the relationship between the body and yourself. If you take this bundle of flesh and bone as yourself, consider what happens to it and how long you can call it mine. Pondering over this problem is the beginning of jnana. This physical frame, built out of earth, fire, water, wind, and ether, will break up into its components just as all built-up things do. Only ignorance will take it as real. Only the uneducated will attach value to it as permanent and eternal. Did this body exist before birth? Does it persist after death? No. It appears and disappears with an interval of existence. Therefore it has no absolute value. It is to be treated only as the cloud or the shadow. As a matter of fact, this physical world is like the mango tree raised by the magician's wand, the product of the trickster known as mind. Just as clay took the form of pot and pan and plate, and after an interval becomes once again clay, shapeless clay, so too all this is the formless Satchitananda, the Nirakara or formless infinite, appearing with akara, or form, for some time on account of the delusion and ignorance of the mind. Some things are useful, some are not, all because of this name and form. All forms are he. All are he. You too are he, above and beyond the past, present and future. You are not this body which is tied up with time and which is caught in the toils of wars, is and will be. Be ever fixed in this attitude. Dwell constantly in the thought that you are of the nature of Parabrahma. Thus you grow into a jnani. That mind is in bondage which craves for objects, for the company of men, and prefers this location or that. Attachment is bondage. Non-attachment is liberation, moksha, mukti. To crave is to be imprisoned, to die. To withdraw the mind from all attachment is to be free, to live forever. Manaeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo, it is said. For men, the mind it is that causes both bondage and liberation. The mind runs after an object and gets attached. The senses are alerted, an action results. The mind is rendered happy or unhappy. Feeling ensues. Fear enters, anger grows, affection develops, thus the bonds are tightened. Fear, anger, and affection are the closest comrades of attachment, the comrades dearest to its heart. They are all four inseparable companions, moving always together. That is why even Patanjali was forced to assert, attachment runs after happiness. And what is it that grants happiness? The fulfillment of desire, is it not? Desire leads to hatred of those who thwart it, fondness for those who feel it, and the inevitable wheel of opposites, of likes and dislikes. There is no escape from this for the ignorant. Impure gold is melted in the crucible, and it emerges shining and bright. Similarly, the mind rendered impure by rajas and tamas, by anger and conceit, by the impressions of a thousand attachments and desires, can be made bright and resplendent if it is put into the crucible of inquiry and heated on the coals of discrimination. That brightness is the light of realization, of the knowledge that you are the Atma. Like the dust storm, the loo that covers everything with dust, the desires, attachments, thirsts, and cravings all blacken the mind. They have to be kept away in order that the splendor of the self might merge in the splendor of the over-self, the Paramatma. Whatever the crisis, however deep the misery, do not allow your grip over the mind to get loose. Tighten it further, fixing your eyes on the higher values. Do not allow the mind to stray away from the holy tabernacle of the heart. Make it bow before the Atma within. Thus one can proceed from the samadhi of Savikalpa to the samadhi of Nirvikalpa, that is to say, from merging with the differentiated to merging with the undifferentiated. Delusion must disappear without even a trace. Then only can one merge with the undifferentiated. There is no duality there. It is Brahman and Brahman alone. All bonds of avidya, karma, etc. fall away, and one is genuinely, fully free. The snake shoves off its coil and has nothing more to do with it. Develop that attitude of non-attachment. Escape from the body delusion. The weak can never grasp this fact. By constant meditation on the Atman and its glory, one can come out of the tangles of the world and worldly affairs. The sadhaka who is earnest must divert all his attention and effort from the sensory world and fix them on the eternal Brahman. Man did not arise merely to wallow in casual joy and fleeting happiness. It is insane to believe so. Identifying oneself with the I and getting attached to mine, that is the root cause of sorrow and ignorance. Where there is no egoism, there will be no cognizance of the external world. When the external world is not cognized, the ego cannot exist. The wise one, therefore, will disidentify himself from the world and behave ever as the agent of the Lord, being in the world but not of it. Once in the midst of conversation, Vasishtha spoke thus to Rama. Listen, O Rama the valiant. The jiva is a bull reclining in the shade or moha of a vastly spreading tree in the forest, samsara. It is bound by the rope of desire, and so it is infected by the fleas and insects of unrest and worry and disease. It rolls in the mire of wrong, while struggling in the dark night of ignorance to slake the thirst of the senses. Then some good men who are wise untie it and take it out of the dark recesses of the forest. through viveka or discrimination, and vichara or inquiry, one achieves vijnana, the higher wisdom. And through vijnana one is able to grasp the truth, to realize the Atma, to know the Atma. That is the ultimate goal of all life, the stage that is beyond the past, present and future. But one point has to be clearly noted and remembered always. Mere giving up external activities connected with the satisfaction of sensory desires is not enough. The internal cravings have to be uprooted. The word trishna covers both these, the internal promptings and the external proceedings. When all prompting cease, it is called mukta trishna. Knowledge of the Atma and faith in the Atma, these alone can destroy the irrelevant thirsts. When the jnani declares, I am Brahman, he is uttering the truth from the sincerity of his experience. When the gross and the subtle are transcended, when the manas, the buddhi and the prana are sublimated, that is to say, when the self is no longer bound by the feelings, thoughts, impulses and instincts, what remains is sat only, existence pure and unalloyed, parabrahmam. Hence the jnani feels one with the omnipresent, the omnipotent. On the other hand, while uneducated and uninitiated, the person who has not taught himself the first steps of sadhana feels that he is one with his physical frame. Sat Chit Ananda. The expression indicates the eternal. Nirakara means without akara or form. What form can we posit of the all-pervasive, the all-inclusive? Para or param means super, beyond, above, more glorious than all. Parabrahmam indicates the one, beyond and behind everything, grander than anything in the three worlds. It is non-dual, unique, the eternal and infinite. Two means difference, dissension, inevitable discord. Since Brahman is all-pervasive, it is one and only one. It is indivisible and indestructible. Realizing this is jnanam, the highest wisdom.